and welcome back to Talking Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and on our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. There will be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links, so please follow the show, all the guys, and click subscribe to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Hey there, and thanks for joining us. For context, we're recording this on Sunday, July 31st. It's about 9 p.m. Eastern time. I know it's silly season, so we always have to give that a bit of context just in case some random shit happens. I'm your host, Matt, and you can follow me at MKCoys on Twitter. You can follow the show at Tottenham Pod, and I'm joined in the virtual Podspur studio by Scott and Dustin. This was another, you know, kind of semi-busy summer week in Tottenham as Spurs lost to Roma 1-0 in the... Dustin, you got the name of the cup, right? What is it?
iTech Cup.
The iTech Cup. So we were not able to keep that unblemished preseason record going and not able to lift another preseason trophy, but it is what it is. But before I kick it to the guys, I do want to talk up our Podspur Nation WhatsApp group chat, which I mentioned at the end of the last episode. If you're a U.S.-based Spurs fan and are interested in connecting with other stateside supporters, get in touch with us and we'll get you the link to join it. So let's kick it to Scott down in North Carolina. Scott, how's it going, my friend?
Good. Pretty good. I feel better than I think a lot of the players did about 20 minutes into that match because it looked like they'd all jumped into a swimming pool.
Same thing.
I hear that, man. I'm up in Rhode Island, so I actually did a beach day on... Oh, shit. What's today? It's Sunday, right? So I did a beach day on Friday and because it was like humid and muggy and all over, and you just go out and walk to the mailbox and your shirt's sticking to you, so that really sucks. So I hear that. I hate the humidity. The humidity is not my best friend at all. Straight heat, dry heat, I can deal with. The humidity kills you. I know people will always debate about that, but it's true. The humidity will get you. Dustin, in Bowling Green, what's going on, my friend?
I mean, it's been nothing but rain and more rain and more rain since Thursday. It was nice last night. I did get to... enjoy my best friend from college, my best man at my wedding's 30th birthday, and we had some delicious bourbon slushies. So that was happy birthday, Jordan. It was a good day indeed. And then my wife and I had an impromptu, hey, let's drive to Fort Campbell and pick up something from Facebook Marketplace because the people are leaving on Monday and we're free tonight. So got to check in on an Army base and drive around a little bit. It was pretty neat. Got two of those in Kentucky. So It's pretty neat stuff. I had never done that before.
That's awesome. I actually also benefited from Dustin's friend's birthday, and I got the recipe for the slushy. So I will be making that and drinking.
Scott,
that.
I'll be happy to send that to you, by the way, if you would like.
Yeah, please.
I'll probably be drinking that on an episode by the end of the season, so be ready for that one.
I'm not a bourbon person, but there are people in my life that are. So I am more than happy.
And I say this, like, I sold my wife on it, and she's not a big bourbon lady. Like, she enjoys, like, when we did the bourbon trail, she enjoyed it. But I always explained to her, she's like, that sounds amazing. I would definitely like that. So it will
anything once. So,
Dustin, I think the key to this might be you might have to buy that cup on TikTok that kind of looks like a pocket pussy. I hate to go down that rabbit hole this early, but I feel like it would really benefit that recipe.
I don't know.
I have no idea what
you don't know. What I'm talking about. All right,
no, so I don't.
I'm gonna share that in the group chat. After.
I was thinking of like the little I saw a video and it was like he was pushing. She's like, oh, I want this. And like she's like squeezing it. It's like a little bunny hopping up, and he looks at it. And it looks like one of those. He's like, I mean, I guess we could buy this. But just, that's definitely
just,
not
just
it.
Just get ready. I got some good content for you.
I feel we haven't even talked about Jose and we're off the rails here.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not even Mourinho Monday yet, but we're off the rails. We're flip flopping. We're flip flopping.
Oh, Lord.
Right now. All right. So let's dive in.
We're starting strong.
Spurs lost the High Tech Cup 1-0 to High Tech. Did I say it right?
High Tech.
All right. iTech. Yeah. See, I can't even pay attention to this shit. But they lost the iTech Cup to Roma 1-0. It was a starting 11 of Hugo Lloris, Davinson Sanchez at left center back, Eric Dier, Romero, Perisic, Bissouma, Højbjerg, Doherty, Son, Kulusevski and Harry Kane. Let's start with you, Scott. You saw this starting 11. You were pretty pissed with seeing Davinson Sanchez at left back, left center back, like yep. I was, right?
Yep. Yeah, only because I want to see Longley with some of the players that he might potentially start alongside. I mean, how many times do we have to see this with Sanchez, right? I mean, I guess Conte didn't feel that Longley's fitness was there, maybe. But, I mean, we persist with this thing. And it doesn't matter. The result doesn't matter. I guess it's good to have Sanchez get some time with Perisic, but it's like, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, Sanchez is – he was fine. I will give him some credit. He was better in this match than he was in Korea, but that's –
he made some good challenges.
You know, did
– he actually made a couple of good passes that didn't necessarily connect. I mean, I'm watching it again on the TV in the background here, and he's not terrible. That's just like what – that adds no value to me. But you got to pick somebody. So if Davies isn't fit, obviously – and Longley's not ready, I get it, but it's just it's tough to see. Because like I've said before, it kills the left side in build-up.
I know I'm jumping ahead, but did we only play four center backs to my – like, was it just the starting three and Longley that played?
Let me take a dial in here. Yes, correct. That is correct.
So, I mean, we got a half of each, so
– I mean, something. You call it a half of each, but Longley played – Yeah, he came in at the half, so it was a half of each. I'm sorry. You're right.
I just would have liked to see him spend more time with Perisic, I think, but that's nitpicking.
That's fair. I think it's a good shout.
I think that is fair, and it's a very good shout leading up to the fact that we're going into the first Premier League match of the season. You know, so, Scott, I guess the only other question I had for you, how did you feel about the Bissouma-Højbjerg pairing as far as the midfield too?
I'm a big Bissouma guy, so like I loved seeing him in the 11. Højbjerg had some iffy moments again. To me, he was good with his progressive passing, which we know when he's got a partner that can anchor, he can do that. I mean, we saw multiple chipped balls over the top with him last season that resulted in goals with Kane. But he gave it away again in our own half a couple of times, and he can't be that person. If somebody's going to make that mistake, it needs to be Skip because he's young, or Bissouma because he's new to the club, or
can't be Harry Winks anymore.
Yeah, but like the Skip is young, Basuma's new to the system. Bentancur's taking a chance usually when he loses it. Højbjerg's just like passing to their team sometimes, and that again, I'm nitpicking. It's not a big problem that we've seen like fucking Benteleb and those guys used to do. It's not like that. So don't take this like me shitting all over the guy. But this is 2-3 games in a row now where we've seen some lack of composure from him in possession in our own half. And that's not going to work, especially against Southampton.
Hey, man, I'll stand for no Benteleb slander. I'm a Schalke fan of the Bundesliga. And, you know, when he came to Schalke, he put on a clinic as far as the Bundesliga, but was not a Premier League cut at all.
No, I'll never forget a game at Anfield with Benteleb multiple times past that. He created a counterattack like he was wearing red for Liverpool. I'll never forget it. No. I'll never forget where I was, what I was doing when he was doing when that happened. So
he is definitely good for that. Before I do kick it at Dustin and get your thoughts on the 11, We're only doing this on the podcast. We don't have the video going, but I am rocking a Celtics hat. I do want to take a second to say RIP to one of the GOATs of the NBA and Mr. Bill Russell, more rings than fingers. I had the opportunity and blessing to meet him a few times and just an absolute sage to talk to. And, you know, he would have a conversation with anyone and just talk basketball and just an absolute better man than he was a basketball player, and that says a lot because 11 rings, that just, you know, gives me tingles thinking about. So RIP to Mr. Bill Russell, absolute Celtics, NBA, and just humankind legend. So, yeah, just had to get that in there. But yep, Dustin, yep, kicking it to you as far as the Spurs lineup, you know, Sanchez at left center back, Bissouma Højbjerg as the midfield pairing. How'd you feel about it?
I wasn't surprised to see Sanchez again at left center back. I figured like there was a chance we were going to see it again. I was intrigued. I think intrigued is probably the right word for the Basuma PEH, just because it's a new thing. Like, can it work out? Can we do some things? Basuma had a really nice game. He showed us a lot. He's a dude, and I said this in our group chat. Like, if we were going to be in a fight, I'd want him on our team. Like, I forget who came face to face with him, but he did not back down. I was like, yeah, let's get it. It was, you know, kind of what the starting lineup I expected. I figured there'd be a little bit of rotation in the midfield just because I know we wanted to see some different looks. Kind of what I expected. You know, I thought there was some good performances there. There was nothing glaringly bad about anything. Would you guys agree with that? Like, there's nothing glaringly.
No, I hear that. This was a game that we saw 65% possession. So,
but it was one of those things. It's like, there's nothing bad about what we did, but there's nothing particularly great or really good about what we did either. Like, I mean, the chances were, you know, looked pretty good. You know, we needed to go to Home Depot and get some finish, but I'm okay with that. That was from my that was our go-to line when I played travel hockey in high school, was to go to Home Depot and get some finish. And I try to use that on my kids and they don't get it. I'm like, you guys lack some wit. There's some things I'm fine with that in a preseason friendly. It was one of those games. It's like, you know, felt okay about the performance, and I felt like we were unlucky to not get any kind of result out of that. So,
Given who the opposing manager was and how familiar he is with the strengths and weaknesses of our good and bad players, you kind of had to know that it was going to be one of those. Not, you know, Jose being Jose, beside the point, you know.
You also had to know he was going to come in and park the bus.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, it's not just Jose being Jose, but he was going to give Kane no space. He was going to give Son no space. And he was going to go after Sanchez. He was going to kick the shit out of Basuma. You know, like he knows the pain points for us. And
well, you know, why didn't we expect it to? Some people did expect it, to be honest with you.
I tweeted out probably like half an hour before the game. You know, remember that chat from All or Nothing that Jose had with Sanchez and said, like, you know, remember when you played for Ajax and I faced you in Champions League with Inter and I targeted you? I kind of expected to see that. And, you know, we didn't really see that per se, but we did see the typical Jose park the bus, sit back and want to whack on the counter. And that's essentially what happened.
Now, I will say there was quite a few almost moments in attack, like Kulusevski, Kane, and Son were just about clicking. Like, it was, you know, flick here or a heavy touch there. Mm-hmm. It was very nearly in, you know, not tip top form, but you could see what they were thinking, and it was just a couple of missed opportunities. So it wasn't all bad. I mean, I on the whole, I feel like we outplayed Roma.
I'd agree.
Who cares about the result, right? That penalty that should have been was one of the more egregious things.
Which one?
No, well,
the Kane one was egregious.
The Kane one was by far the worst.
Well, then they called a foul on Kane. Like, the guy doubled down on the shithousery. Like, what are you doing here?
But so we got two. I think I wrote it down or sent it or did both. Like, it was like, there's in a typical Premier League game, there are two VAR penalties we would have given, and the offside goal was questionable. So, like, it could have been onside. It might have been off.
Yeah.
I'm not here to split hairs on that one.
That was tight for sure. And I know Spurs Twitter had the normal fallout. And I read a great tweet today, and I meant to write down who wrote it, but he said, Twitter is full of man babies. And I love that. Twitter is very much so full of man babies.
Yep,
and
that's right.
We were probably part of that. But as far as lacking the finish.
This segment brought to you by.
We got to call some people.
And we're probably going to get copyright infringed for that. But needing to get to the Home Depot, we have a great question. And it's from our good friend Dustin Dietz at Dustin Dietz 18, who writes in, the starting 11 from yesterday, is this the starting 11 next Sunday versus Southampton? And before we tackle that question, I also want to just give a big shout out to Dustin. Dustin tweeted out 3 days ago that his dad passed away unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. He was a great dude that loved his family. He's going to miss him. RIP, big guy. And he posted a photo of his dad looking at him saying, I wonder why, saying his dad's wondering why he's wearing an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt and a puka shell necklace. So I do love that Dustin was able to find a bit of humor in that, and, you know, want to shout out him and his family and give all of our thoughts and prayers from Podspur Nation over to him. So Dustin, I know you listen to this podcast, and I just want to let you know we're thinking about you and your family at this time. And hopefully your dad can get in Conte's head and give us some good visions going forward. But Dustin also raises a great question there. And Scott, let's start with you on this one. So again, is this the starting 11 that we see versus Southampton?
Thankfully not. So I read all of the, listened to and read all of the press conference from Conte after the match. And he actually said that Ben Davies could have played against Roma if he needed to. So he's fit, and it sounds like he's going to start against Southampton. And actually, I remember during the match watching Davies run up and down to warm up, and I was like, wait a second, like, but why? But that made me feel good. And then to read that in the press conference, it made me feel a whole lot better. So I think Sanchez will be out, Davies will be in. So the whole kerfuffle about Sanchez being a donkey on the left, hopefully we can avoid. And also, Conte specifically mentioned Doherty and Perisic's fitness, so, and how they weren't quite where they needed to be. So I take that to mean that neither one of them will start. So I think that we'll probably see Sessegnon and Royale, and I think Doherty and Perisic will both play, but I don't think either one of them will start. So I think we'll see Sess for Perisic, Davies for Sanchez, probably a Royale for Doherty, and I think Bentancur is probably going to play over Bissouma because he mentioned him specifically with the COVID as well. So,
are you saying Bentancur ahead of Bissouma? So,
yeah, only because of fitness. I think
Bentancur, yeah. PEH.
Yep, and then I don't want that. I think that's what we're going to see, and it's going to be one of those that we ease in. The COVID thing really, really hurt Bissouma's ability to bed in and be ready to go.
No, I agree with that, but I also, you know, he's a Premier League proven player. Like, he's played in the Premier League, so it's not like he's a Serie A player coming over. So I guess that's the point that kind of, you know, sticks with me. And then as far as Perisic, and, you know, my bold prediction of the season was Sessegnon was going to hold off Perisic and, you know, keep that left wing back spot. And I was very flipped on that judgment watching this last match. I thought Perisic was actually our best player.
Easily.
I'd agree.
For as long as he played. I think what he offered, we have not seen in a long, long time. like even better than prime Danny Rose. Like, that is what we saw out of, what did he play, 62 minutes?
Something like that.
Of Ivan Perisic. So I was interested to see those remarks from Antonio Conte on him. As far as the fitness, I still very much could see Perisic come out there and start against Southampton.
He could, and then come off at 60 minutes.
Yeah,
like he could.
And I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with Sess coming on for a full tilt, you know, half an hour or roughly about it.
And Sessegnon's half an hour on Saturday was good, too. I mean, he put in some great crosses. Like,
he did.
Like, I think we have a surplus of two really strong left wing backs on our team right now. And that makes me excited because, I mean, think about last year. We just, down the stretch, we just had Sessegnon. We did have Sergio Reguilon, but it was hit and miss whether he was going to, like, we never knew if he was going to be in the squad or not.
No, I like that. And I feel like, Reguilon and Sessegnon is a very interesting dynamic because one is not learning from the other, but Sessegnon and Perisic, one is definitely learning from the other. And I think, you know, there's not much of a better player to learn from than Ivan Perisic in
not at
that
all.
Role.
I agree.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Conte, with regards to Bissouma, Conte did specifically say that he was becoming more and more familiar, but not quite there yet with how they want their midfielders to play. So I think that's part of it too. Because I don't want to compare him to Ndombele because it's not at all that, but it's the freedom to express yourself within the confines of the setup, the automations, the, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, you're getting the ball from this guy, so you're going to pass it over here. Like, you're just going to do it. You know, it's not a freewheeling freestyle system. It's very much like Conte has the PlayStation 5 controller in his hands and he's hitting the pass button for you. So I think that might be part of it too. I would love to be wrong and see Basuba play with Benson Kerr instead of Højbjerg, but I don't know.
We have not seen that pairing this preseason, right? So that's another,
I don't think so, no.
Interesting bit to take, you know, a little bit of, one player that I want to bring up that I know we all love, but I felt was a little less than impressive was Dejan Kulusevski. And I'll start with you on this one, Dustin. What did you make of Deki in his performance versus Roma?
I'm trying to remember looking at my notes here what I wrote down, but I'm kind of with you.
That's exactly my point.
Kind of got lost in the shuffle. The first thing I'm seeing with Deki in here, 36 minute heavy touch ends the threat. Trying to think if I see anything else. I don't think he like jumped to, oh, and I 38th minute, what a 2-on-1 by Deki and Kane, but it's just offside. Like the goal, like the buildup in the goal was nice. Or the goal that wasn't. But I think he kind of, you know, he kind of disappeared a little bit. I don't necessarily think he played poorly, but he definitely got lost in the shuffle. That's for sure.
Yeah. Scott, thoughts on Deki?
Well, you know, it was interesting. We've been rumored and linked with Zaniolo. And I don't watch
a ton. Before you even get going on Zaniolo, very interesting that he played a full 90 in this one.
Also very interesting that he survived a Romero shithouse tackle.
Yeah.
Romero, like, I was 6 to midnight when that challenge went in. Like, I loved it.
Romero don't give a damn.
But what I will say is I don't think Zaniolo did anything remarkable in the match. But there were times when those two tussled, and he held his own against Kulusevski, who is a strong, big guy. Like, you could see Zaniolo as a fucking unit out there. So I think that was part of the issue for Kulusevski, is he faced someone with some stature and enough pace to keep up with him. And I think it was probably something he's not familiar with. You know, when you think about, you know, left backs in the Premier League, and Zaniolo wasn't playing that position, but he was back there a lot. There was not an opportunity to bully somebody or hold him off and push him off the ball. And I think it was more of a technical opponent than he was used to back there.
Maybe just a poor matchup for Deki as opposed to
And I think it was good though for him to have that type of experience going into the season, just to not, I don't think he's like big headed or anything, but to show him his weaknesses and some of the things he needs to work on. And I don't think it was like a 3 out of 10 performance or anything, but it wasn't, you know, 8 assists in 2.5 months performance like he did in the back half of the season either.
So really interesting in looking it up as you were talking, Zaniolo is listed at 6'3" and Deki is listed at 6'1". So a 2-inch height differential there, but that did very much, I agree with you, Scott, did seem to bother him. And I think Zaniolo, you know, as far as being 2 inches taller, does not compensate at all or give up anything at all with those 2 inches as far as speed. He's a fast tall guy.
Yep. Yeah, he's an athlete for sure.
Was this a Zaniolo audition?
That's kind of where I was going with that 90 minute question as far as that, because if you look at things, Zaniolo and Pellegrini were both subbed off in the 90th minute. The only other players who played more for Roma were the back line of Mancini, Smalling, Ibanez, and Patricio. So I found that very interesting. I know. So, Dustin, did you watch on Spurs play?
Yeah, I did.
So did you have the same? I was cleaning the house. I told you guys in the group chat, I was cleaning the house. The wife and kids were out, so I just had to do like a massive toy pickup and, you know, sweep and vacuum and all that, and I'd put CBS Sports on, whatever the fuck they call it now, I mean, Paramount Plus or, you know, whatever it is, and they have this terrible lead up intro music, and it's just and it's a guy like moaning every 20 seconds, and like as I was picking up toys and shit, it really pissed me off. And then as I got alerts, it really pissed me off more because I realized the game had been going on more. And then the fucking commentator was Borat
so
reincarnate.
Bad. He was so he bad.
It's nice.
He was nice. He was a Borat reincarnate. And it was very much so the Roma spin of things. And like that really pissed me off. So like
I just had a hard time watching this. I know our good friend Austin is going to say he got levied because he bought Spurs play. And I just wasn't in the position to cast it or Chromecast it or AirPlay it just because I had music playing because I was cleaning shit up. And I was just in the zone. So, like, I didn't have a great viewing experience because of that.
Yeah, it was bad. Paramount Plus was bad.
AirPlay Scott, worked. Hold on, Scott. You watched on Paramount Plus as well.
So I watched the first half on my phone on Spurs Play, and in the second half I watched on the Paramount Plus, and I'm watching now a replay
was
on
it,
Paramount Plus.
Was it the same commentator through both, mm-hmm. or did Spurs Play have their own?
Oh no, Spurs Play had their own for right. sure. Like it was Rob it Bailey. Was noticeably different. It was significantly more shit when I watched the second half on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Yeah.
They brought Rob Daly over. Like you're gonna if we're paying if people are paying money, they're gonna get the same commentator.
Yeah, it felt like that might have been a local broadcaster.
They probably picked up someone local, like because
well, the broadcast was local. Like they had that the
yeah, that's what I was
logo.
Was yeah, like but he was very much of the Roma ilk. He was all about the signings Roma had made and the freaking well, family and what they've brought to this club. And even at halftime, they had a sit down with Jose about, you know, when he first talked to the Friedkin family and what Roma projected to him as far as the project that him coming into Roma was.
Well, two reasons that doesn't surprise me is first of all, I think Paramount Plus has exclusive rights to Serie A. So there's probably
there
one of the things. And then the other thing is I read online that like we talk about Spurs connection with the Jewish community. Roma apparently also has a big connection with the Jewish community as well. So it was kind of a perfect storm of all of those things coming together. So that kind of sprung up on me on Twitter. I was like, interesting. I did not realize that they also had a similar connect like we did. So it was kind of like a perfect storm of those two teams coming together in that location.
Not yeah. sure that I would associate Rome with a strong
right.
Jewish, but hey, I don't want to get into that here on the podcast.
It was an article I read from The Athletic that talked about they had, but like I said, it just kind of quickly mentioned that, so I don't know how deep that is, but it was from a refutable source. So
that would be
Charlie Eccleshire wrote that. Yeah,
that would be very interesting to read the divide between them and Lazio, as far as you know, Lazio and Roma is the big Rome derby, and you know. The piece at halftime with Jose was actually great. And I know people, you know, who listen to Spurs and follow Spurs are going to be very divided about the Jose, any Jose comments on this and might flip flop on their opinions. But, Jose, in his interview said that he actually lives in the Lazio neighborhood. And when he returned home from the Conference League championship, it was very quiet in the neighborhood. And to him, that was perfect. And I loved it. I mean, if you know me at all, you know I do love I was a fan of the Jose Mourinho tenure. I thought at the time he was the perfect hire. You couldn't have hired anyone better.
I agree.
But I do love the box office that is Jose Mourinho. And it continues with him at Roma.
Under me, you explode.
Well, I will say when it comes to if you had to pick a club in Rome to have a connection with, it wouldn't be the Lazio club. So no. Maybe that's why Lazio are a bunch of.
I have to say, you know, I'm in Rhode Island. You know, if you've listened to this at all, you know that I'm one of the chairs of Rhode Island Spurs, and the team that I've seen most frequently in live action, other than my New England Revolution, is AS Roma because the ownership group is affiliated with the Boston Celtics ownership group, which does raise a lot of red flags as far as how that works with Liverpool. And you saw that with the Ellison transfer and some other things. But I've seen Roma at Fenway. I've seen Roma at Gillette. I've seen Roma all over. And, you know, if I had to pick a Serie A team, like, yeah, it's probably Roma. My great-grandmother is from Perugia, and they're in Serie B. But, you know, as far as that goes – you know, who I have watched growing up in Serie A has been Roma. I was very much drawn to Francesco Totti. Just one of the greats, one of the absolute all-time greats of the game. And that kind of did it for me. And as far as, you know, I'm a big loyalty guy, and he stuck with his squad amongst thick and thin. So, you know, that kind of drew me to Roma. I had to explain to my wife like maybe a month or two ago, like the whole Romulus and Remus story and how Rome was formed, and she didn't believe me, so she actually had to go to the interwebs on that one. But so I do love all the lore that surrounds the city of Rome.
So the guy that owns my company, we're in the aftermarket, automotive aftermarket, and he's pretty close with the CEO of Roma, Pietro Berardi. He Berardi used to work for Pirelli. You know, that automotive companies are kind of, everybody knows everybody.
Company, correct?
Yeah. Yep. So, and we sell exhaust.
They were huge into Inter Milan.
Yeah. What's interesting, he worked in the U.S., Pietro Berardi did, for Pirelli. And long story short, my owner, who I'm pretty close with, is very close with Pietro. It was funny. We were talking one day, and he's like, yeah, I know that guy. I know their CEO. I was like, okay. He called him right there in front of me. I was like, Jesus Christ, you're not kidding.
That's pretty sweet. If he's at all related to Domenico Berardi from Sassuolo, you should probably call him and have him transfer over. Just, you know, have him come on.
I have no connections to anybody, but can I still sit here and listen to you guys talk?
You got it. You have the Gentile.
Yeah, that's Northern Italy. So I think we're from the Torino area, which is Juventus area or territory. Wow. So
it's really funny. So living in Rhode Island, we have, you know, in Providence, our capital city, we have an area called Federal Hill, which is like the Italian end of the city. And everyone in that area hates Juventus because they fucking bought their way in. So a lot of Inter Milan fans in there, a lot of AC Milan fans in there, depending on. And then the spackling of Roma, I would say Roma would be the number three supported club in there, which is really funny because they have a really cool festival every summer, and you see a lot of soccer kits out there, and you do see a lot of AC Milan, you see a lot of Inter, you see some Juve, and then you just see the looks that people give them, and the,
yeah, know,
the hand.
Our boy soccer coach is an OG AC Milan fan, so we got that going for us. He's like, I've been watching them since like 2002, 2003. Like, he's like, I'm an OG.
I mean, we have Ben Davis Dini here at Tottenham Hotspur, so it's all good from there.
I've told AJ, our soccer coach, I was like, look, when Jaffa Tanganga comes in on loan, I need you to treat him well, keep him healthy, because that is my boy, and I got to have him back. He goes, I got you, man. Don't worry. I'll put in a good word. So
there it is. All right, let's take a short break, and when we come back, let's talk about all of the rumor roundups that's going on, so Dustin will clue us in and what he has going on with his spreadsheet. And we'll look at that, and we'll also look at what is upcoming for us at Tottenham Hotspur. Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. To kick off this next segment, I'm going to kick it over to my good friend Dustin. Dustin, talk about the rumor roundup. What is the latest and greatest? I think after watching that match versus Roma, there's a lot of appeal for a playmaking number 10. So I'm sure a certain Leicester player will come up and talk, as well as a certain player that we saw feature versus us for Roma come up as well. But
that is very true. Well, we're going to start with a couple of imminent moves, and these are both imminent transfers out, and not really transfers out, but loans out. So we all know that Jafik Tangang is, you know, very close to joining AC Milan. Gazzetta dello Sport is reporting that both sides hope to get the done. They were hoping to get it done by today, which hasn't happened. The 28th, so that would have been, what, Thursday? Charlie Eccleshare reported that AC Milan was wanting Spurs to come down a little bit on their price tag for the option to buy. Spurs are currently asking about £17 million on that option. It looks like it's going to be hopefully the loan with the option, they're kind of getting stuck on the semantics of option to buy versus obligation to buy. Spurs are kind of thinking more of the obligation, and AC Milan is hoping more for the option side of it, which, like I've said, as a fan of Jahvid Tanganga. I'm hoping it's more of an option because I'd love to have him back. We talked about last week that there's talk of including a buyback clause with that, but nothing new on that front this week. What do you guys think? Does that get done this week?
I hope so. I know we all kind of – well, we all don't disagree. I think I disagree with you two on Tanganga a little bit. I don't know that he's good enough to get up in arms about either one of those options or obligation. If he wasn't homegrown, would we be having this conversation? He's good enough to be on the squad, but I'm not going to
– And to talk – speaking of Jahvid Tanganga, I read from a couple of different places. I saw it on Last Word on Spurs. He was slated to be in the team, but he woke up was travel day? Friday is when they flew over to Israel. He woke up that morning with a bit of a stomach bug. So that's why he wasn't a part of the squad. He was expected to play, but they decided just to keep him there because there's no point in getting other people sick. So don't read into
I don't buy that stomach bug bullshit because the same thing was said of Joe Rodon is why he didn't go to Korea. And
turned out he had COVID, yeah.
His move to France is looking, you know, essentially done. So I don't buy any of that shit, to be honest with you, Dustin.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I saw. Now, speaking of Joe Rodon, the report from Fabrizio Romano was today was the day he was supposed to have his medical. That was confirmed by Last Word on Spurs that he had left today and was expected to be landing in France for his medical at, is it Rennes? Rennes. Just Ren. I never knew how to pronounce it last year, and then they stuck it to us. Ren. Yeah, I would say they stuck it to us and made us forfeit that match, which jokes on them because
I think
we worked a deal with them so we could beat Arsenal at the end of the season. So we appreciate Ren for that. So those are the two imminent moves. Lot of traction on a name we're going to camp out with here for a little bit is Giovanni Lo Celso. I have reports on, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I pretty much had an update for every day of this week with Giovanni Lo Celso. So let's start with the most recent couple of these. I think it was Thursday, Fabrizio Romano reported that Spurs and Villarreal are in deep conversations, but have not agreed to a deal. Napoli is also big on this. This is coming from Republica via Last Word on Spurs that Napoli are, quote, expecting West Ham to up their bid for Pitor Zielinski, which is a name I had previously mentioned they were Napoli was trying to get rid of to raise the money for GLC, and they're expecting that's going to happen this week, and then there will be the move for that. We're also looking at potentially Giovanni Lo Celso with, according to PlanetaMilan.it, AC Milan is interested in him. And then Gazzetta del Sporto is also reporting that Fiorentina is definitely in talks with that, which could potentially open the door for an incoming center back by the name of
Nikola Milinkovic.
There it is. Oh, he was right underneath. I had done this a little out of order, but he was right underneath. Nikola Milinkovic.
He's the new Damião. Every window we get linked with him.
It's probably true. On Friday, La Nazionale reported that Paratici is meeting with Fiorentina this coming Tuesday. That would be August the 2nd, about a deal. Fiorentina is keen on keeping him, but also his contract expires next summer, so there is room to make a deal. I forget who – I saw it right before we got on. Somebody said they gave it about a 50% chance that he – they have apparently a gentleman's agreement about him staying, but there's it's a 50-50 whether he'll actually uphold that or not. How did you say his last name again?
Milinkovic. I fucked it up. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I would say you said it something different. I was like, oh man, I've been real wrong about Milinkovic. I think is the name that we're probably from a center back standpoint is the most concrete name we are connected to, because of that meeting on Tuesday. Alessandro Bastoni, no new updates on him. I have seen that the price tag him will probably be about 55 million, which is down a little bit more than I had originally seen reported. And then Pau Torres, I'm about to delete his name from the spreadsheet. Does seem like Chelsea is more keen on him than we are, which I think we've all said in the past, we're okay with that.
Yep.
Another name that's popping up quite a bit is Sergio Reguilon. Sevilla seems to be the name that's popping up with this. They offer, according to Calcio Mercato on That would have been Wednesday. Spurs offered him to Inter Milan. Gerard Romero is also reporting Barcelona are planning to offer him in exchange for a straight swap. The rumored name for that has been Memphis Depay, but I literally put in my notes, I think that's still hearsay.
That's the interesting one, right? Because like Memphis has come out and said like he does not want to go back to the Premier League.
And I read a thing that said Spurs rejected the offer for him
coming into that. I believe that that all happened. Just reading the tea leaves there, I think.
We rejected him and he rejected us?
I think he was offered to us in this exchange and neither one of us were interested. Yeah, Barcelona wanted it. He didn't and we didn't.
Could you guys see a situation where Lenglet becomes permanent as far as Reguilón going to Barca?
Maybe.
I hope not.
Can that happen?
I don't know.
As far as paperwork and contracts and all that?
I don't know. It'd probably have to have a new set of something in there. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to that.
I'm sure player would have to agree to that first off, right?
Yeah. Speaking also of Sergio Reguilón, Charlie Eccleshare is also reporting that Sevilla are heavily interested in him, and it's looking like the idea of the loan with the obligation to buy. He has said that think of this like the deal with Kulusevski and Romero, which is, like I said, totally cool with me.
Formality.
Yeah. Just whatever you need to do to get it over the line. And one more thing on the loan out, we'll talk about Brian Hill. Sampdoria still very much interested in it. On the 28th, Charlie Eccleshare reported that Valencia are talking to Gil or Brian Hill. I always want to say Brian Gill, and I know that's not right. Brian Hill. About taking him back on loan if they can sell Goncalo Guedes, which I know nothing about Goncalo Guedes, but it was a fun name to write down, so I wanted to say it on the air. Zaniolo is a name that I think that there's a good chance he could pop up.
If you listen to the game and the Borat said that there was a $50 million transfer fee for Zaniolo. He said that the commentator mentioned that I think 5 or 6 times during it. So you know, like you mentioned, interesting to see if this was actually an audition at all. And I want to throw this one out there to you guys, but you know, we've talked not on air, but we've talked in our group chat about Pierre-Emile Højbjerg being the current weak link of our midfield players, and could you see a situation where Zaniolo comes to Spurs and Højbjerg goes to Roma, kind of washing out cash? And I know Højbjerg wouldn't fetch out that £50 million fee that Borat spoke about, but could you guys see anything where that would happen, knowing how keen Jose is on Højbjerg?
I hadn't thought about that one, to be honest with you, but I think, you know, there's a chance. I know that obviously.
I know we're going to come back to Højbjerg and comparing him to probably to another transfer target down your list who also hails from where we hail from. But I wonder about the Højbjerg-Zaniolo link.
Scott, what do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me because Jose loves Højbjerg. And I think Højbjerg loves Jose.
And it seems like
him every damn match. You should love him.
It seems like Paratici loves Zaniolo, but Conte is kind of eh?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't get it with Zaniolo. He's big and fast for his size and all of that, but like, I don't see it. I just don't see it. So I hope not, but it wouldn't surprise me because it does appear someone at our club wants Zaniolo, and you know, Roma with Jose would like Højbjerg. If we did that, we would definitely need to acquire another midfielder like you talked about. So it wouldn't bother me. I mean, I think that Højbjerg is a high floor, low ceiling type, which does not bother me one bit with what we have with Skip and his injury and, you know, Basuma settling in. And I would like to keep him unless we bring somebody in.
That was going to be my question to you, Scott, was would you be okay with moving Højbjerg on this summer? And I've kind of convinced myself that I would be okay with that. So
without replacement or with replacement?
No, with replacement. And no. I'm speaking specifically of Weston McKennie. I think.
Oh yeah,
that is absolutely my bias as a U.S. Spurs supporter. But just kind of,
I would definitely rock a Weston McKennie Spurs kit. I've been wanting him to come.
I'd buy it in all three strips, man.
I've been wanting Spurs to go in for him since he was speaking of Schalke. I've been following him since Schalke. Like, I was like, that's one of my guys. I want him to land in North London.
No, I agree 100%. When you think about it, I'll bring back a Sherwoodism. Our midfield is much of a muchness right now, with all four of them being very similar. And, you know, moving out the old cement mixer, as Barty on the extra inch calls him, Hoybier, and bringing in somebody with some attacking talent and some forward ability, goal scoring. He's good in the air. He's good at from set pieces. You know, it's I think that would be a good move. He's younger. He's more. I don't want to say he's more fit. He appears to pop Skittles like a fat fourth grader. But
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he's more of a fit in the squad from what he offers us relative to Højbjerg to the other three that we've got.
Let me kick this to both of you. This one just popped to me, and we'll start with you, Dustin, and Scott, I'll come back to you on it.
Hit me.
Which midfielder that we currently have is our most progressive midfielder, and which one is our must-start midfielder?
Most-start midfielder is probably Bissouma. Most progressive?
It's a tough ask right now. I think
that's a tough one. Like, PEH has his moments where he plays some really good progressive passes, but it's not a consistent thing with them. I haven't seen enough of Bissouma in a Spurs kit progressive wise. Bentancur once again also has his moments. That's just a tough one. Should I just say F it and say Papadarsar?
No, there you go. I'm actually going to go with Bissouma as far as our most progressive. I think just seeing the limited time we've seen with him on the ball, I think he's only going to grow into it. And I think our must start and cannot drop it is the hot rod. I think it's Bentancur. I think he is the most talented midfielder that we currently have. Scott?
I think the most progressive is Skip. He's in the 84th percentile for central midfielders in his progressive carries. Like, I think that when I think of progression, it's not just passing, right? It's what do you do with the ball? Carry. And I've loved about Skip since the moment I saw him is he scans the field before he gets the ball. And that was what was so good about Iniesta and Xavi at Barcelona. I saw a clip maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago of Xavi, and it was 11 seconds, and the clip stopped every time he scanned the field, and he scanned the field 13 times in 11 seconds before he received it, after he received it, while he was on the ball. And Skip is not Xavi, don't get me wrong, but he knows where he is, where his teammates are, because he picks his head up, receives the ball, picks his head up, and he knows where he's at. So he'll take it on the half turn and dribble with it. Instead of how many times do you watch a match and you'll see Harry Winks or something, or Højbjerg receives the ball and there's nobody within 10 fucking yards of him, but he doesn't turn around. It's like, oh my God, and you pass it back to Davinson fucking Sanchez when he could turn around and run 15 yards or draw a defender onto him and play the ball in behind. Skip doesn't have that problem. So I think it's Skip. Now, it could be Bissouma. Bissouma was limited by what Potter at Brighton asked him to do. So I think that's something I would need to see him do. I think he has it in his locker to do it. I just haven't seen it as much as you've seen it from Skip.
That's a great shout. I like that.
Let's kind of wrap up Zaniolo, just because there is a couple of kind of time-sensitive stuff with this. On Thursday, the 28th, it was reported that after the match that Paratici was going to meet with Thiago Pinto to talk about the deal. That was from Tutto Sport via the Last Word on Spurs. Friday, it was reported that Santi Aona from Foot Mercato, that he said that he believes the deal will be completed, and there's a pretty good chance we could see it as the loan with the option/obligation to buy. It seems like feel like we're going to be saying loan with option/obligation to buy very much during the Paratici era, which, you know, some people might roll their eyes at, but if it gets done and we get the players, you know what, let's do it. We've hit all my people I was going to talk about buy or sell other than Lucas Paqueta, which the only thing I'll tell you about him, it looks like Newcastle's going for him. Arsenal's he said, I don't want to go to Arsenal, which I don't blame him.
I love him now.
which puts him at number one on our book in our books.
I was all for Paqueta. I was ready for it. I think I said it like two episodes ago.
Yeah. I hated it. Now I love it. Bring him in.
So we'll do we got some positive feedback about a lightning round here. So I'm gonna hit you with the lightning round real quick with some things that are already going. We've got some people coming out, some contract updates, and then we've got some updates on just people in general in and out. So Matt, you got my sound for me ready to go for lightning?
One sec.
In Bowling Green, we got some hellacious lightning on Thursday. I think I sent you guys the video of it just absolutely pissing rain Thursday and Friday, and it was just all over the place here.
Well,
we'll get it at the end here. So to start the lightning round, obviously some announcements we already know that are coming. Dane Scarlett has left on loan with Portsmouth. There it is. Dane Scarlett has officially left on loan with Portsmouth. He played in their opening match. Was it again with Wigan? Was that who they played this week? This past weekend? I think that's right.
I watched Huddersfield Burnley.
I did watch that game too, and I forgot that Vincent Kompany was the manager.
Burnley looked really good. Yeah. It's the anti-Sean Dyche.
I got some mad respect for Vincent Kompany, to be honest, because he was a heck of a player. What do we think about Dane Scarlett to Portsmouth? I think that's a really great spot for him.
Chef's kiss.
Yep.
So yeah, two players that are currently going under some talks about some new contracts are Harry Kane and Lucas Moura. We'll start with the easier one to talk about, and that's Lucas Moura.
Hold on one sec, Dustin. It was a Portsmouth played Sheffield Wednesday to a 3-3 draw.
That's what it was. I was sitting there thinking, like, someone was involved with Sheffield Wednesday. That's what it was, Portsmouth and Sheffield Wednesday. He was a sub in, like, around the 60th, 70th minute, I remember seeing.
Dane Scarlett came on the 75th minute.
Yeah. So, I knew a little bit about it, but enough not to be an exact. So, thank you for clarifying. Lucas Moura, it has been reported by Paul O'Keefe that Spurs are soon to trigger an extra one-year extension with Lucas that would keep him at the club for 24-25. And then Harry Kane, it looks like it's reported by Ali Gold and Fabrizio Romano that Spurs are definitely working on a new contract for him, and people expect that to be not a problem. How do we feel about start with Lucas Moura? How do we feel about the option to extend him one more year?
That seems like more of an obligation. That seems like it's been triggered. It's a done deal. It's you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm fine with one more year of Lucas. I think that's why we see him maybe working at that wing back role is to maybe give him some more options.
I do want to spend some time on Kane though.
No, that's fine. No, I was ready to talk about Harry Kane. So, Matt, how do we feel about a Harry Kane extension?
So, obviously, Oliver Kahn, who is the CEO of Bayern Munich, has come out and said how interested he is. I can't see Harry Kane moving on to Bayern Munich, although they do have a gaping hole at number nine. I just don't see it with him and his wife and, like, little kids being in London.
Imagine Harry Kane trying to speak German.
Yeah, I mean, if Harry Kane's going to go, I hate to say it, it's Chelsea. If he's going to go, I hate to say it, but
I don't think that would ever happen.
But I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. And that boat has sailed with Erling Haaland.
Oh, yeah, true.
But I do think that if he's going to go in the Premier League, it's Chelsea. If he's going to go
United, personally,
if he's going to go abroad, there's not a better place to go, in my opinion. But I've actually wanted to bring this up the last few episodes as far as him having not signed that contract extension yet. And we saw the Davies extension, and now we've seen the we've seen the Lucas Moura extension being triggered. But I'm actually getting to the point where I'm a little bit worried by this as far as Kane not having signed yet. I think if Kane signs by the end of this transfer window, take back everything I just said, but if he does not sign by the end of this transfer window, then I think his days are very much numbered at Spurs.
You think he's looking to – it's like a run-out-the-clock situation?
Yeah, and it's a very tough balance because, right, you've got Antonio Conte in, and you have all your chips in with Antonio Conte. It's trophy or bust with Antonio. Like, it is what it is. Let's call it that. And if Kane wins a trophy, depending on which one it is, it's probably more marketable for him to leave than just say, like, hey – you know, it kind of protects his legacy at Tottenham. Like, hey, I won X trophy at Spurs. So, yeah, I'm going to go to Bayern and chase Champions League.
We've had this discussion before via group chat. We've had this discussion before. At least you and me have.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Scott, what are your thoughts on the Kane contract unrest?
So, I don't know that there's been any serious pushy conversations yet this window with it. I think there's probably been some discussions like, hey, this is what we're thinking, we want to do this, but I don't know that it's being pushed right now. Like, I think that by Christmas you'll see him and Conte both sign, and I wouldn't be nervous.
Conte in there.
Well, I think they're going to be tied at the hip. I don't think Kane's going to want to sign without Conte signing. Now if Kane signs, it'll be 5 years and Conte will sign for like 18 more months. So it won't be like a one-to-one relationship. But I think that Kane is going to want to see the window out, see how it ends, see how the season goes. And I think Conte is going to want to see the same thing.
Yeah. Ali Gold had a really interesting article from on football.london today that was talking about, and it talked about, you know, Antonio Conte sheds light on, it was titled as Antonio Conte sheds light on Harry Kane contract situation. And nowhere in there did he mention anything about a contract.
Those clickbait articles that Ali Gold and Football London and the rest of them put out. Like,
I know this is a lot.
I did like Conte's comments though. In that.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty positive stuff.
And the way you were talking about that made me think about that, because he was talking about how the happiness of Harry Kane with the club, which also was kind of a one-to-one relationship with his happiness with things. Like, Conte and Kane are very much going to be a one-to-one tie-in together, and we all probably would have guessed that. Gosh, coming back to the clickbait thing, like, I hate those things. Can I tell you guys a very quick – I know this is lightning round, but I can tell you guys a quick story. So in college – I wrote for rivals.com for WKU football for a season. It was the 2012 season. Go Tops for sure. Actually, I'll take it back. It was the 2011-2012 school year, so it would have been the 2011 season. And that was the first year they actually got bowl eligible. We did not get selected to go, but we did become bowl eligible that year. So that was pretty fun to cover that team. And I wrote an article about a game we had played against Louisiana Monroe. And we had beat them in overtime on a field goal, but our kickers had missed a crap ton of field goals that game. Jesse Roy and the other guy who was a local kid, I'm drawing a blank on his name, so I'm going to just pass it on, which is not like me because I split over the details. They missed like four field goals that game, and I wrote it.
Milankevich.
Yeah, that's who it was. Casey Tinius, that was his name. You tricked it. Yeah, he's a Bowling Green kid. I forget Bowling Green people on purpose. So they had missed field goals, and I titled my article, and I just mentioned towards the bottom of my article, I wrote a quick paragraph about the kicking woes, and it's been kind of a theme. It was nice to see one of them hit the game winner, but like, it's definitely something that's got to get sorted out. And one of the guys I worked with who had admin power over, completely changed the name of my article to.
Yep.
In spite of kicking woes, Tops come out victorious. And I was like, that's not like, I'm like, people like commenting and like, oh, that's a bold take to title it that and do that. I'm like, I didn't do this. I talked about us winning at overtime and not the kicking game. But sorry,
I was about to say. No, that was a good segue, Dustin, because Ali doesn't write his own bylines. Like, so I guarantee you he was probably equally annoyed with the editor that wrote that one.
We should have had Keely Jones from the Independent Woman write the taglines.
I also know our good friend and member of Pods for our team, John Russell, will love that because he fucking hates Ali Gold.
I didn't know that. Really?
You got to add John Russell 215 and he will tell you all about how much he hates Ellie Gold, and he thinks, I can't even say the words, even though we have the E, I'm not even going to say the words that that John Russell used to describe.
Does Ellie it typically Gold. Follow smarts and intelligence?
No, it's worse than that. It's beyond worse than that.
But I think Ali serves his role, though. I mean, you just got to know what perspective you're getting. He's
propaganda.
Typically going to, yeah. There's value in that.
I just need him to go on vacation next week. So I actually get done.
Yeah, no, I love that piece, but I actually do have to say I love Rob Guest. I mean, he's an Evertonian,
yes.
And he comes at Spurs with a very nice perspective, I think. So I do listen to Golden Guest, and I very much enjoy Rob Guest and his input as far as Tottenham Hotspur football
that is
concerned.
Other than Podspur, that is one of the two Spurs podcasts I listen to. So
there you go.
I do have to say, I think we're lucky with some of the journalists that we've got covering the club in general.
Sure.
Like, I think The Athletic does a good job with Pitbrook and Eccleshire. Mm-hmm. Ali Gold and Rob Guest are good.
I hate that other, what was it, Brady?
View from the Lane?
Yeah, View from the Lane.
Oh.
I lumped that in with The Athletic, right? That's an Athletic production.
Yes, it is.
I don't love the podcast. I think they're and people will laugh of me, of all people saying this, but they're arrogant and they love to hear themselves talk.
Dan Brady?
No, it's James something. And
Brady. Why am I stuck?
I can't remember. It's
Tom Brady. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong thing.
It insists upon
I live
itself.
In New England, motherfucker.
So, yeah, it's not the best podcast, but the site coverage and the long form articles and the tactical analysis and all that's very good on The Athletic, I think.
That is very true.
I agree with you. I think The Athletic, I mean, I'm a subscriber and I feel like it's totally worth the money. But the View from the Lane podcast, when Eccleshare is on it, it is Danny Kelly.
That's it.
He has, I think, brought that podcast down a bit. I feel like he's. It's just not a good fit. It's weird with him in there.
Yep.
Dan Kelly, if you'd like to come on Podspur and have a point counterpoint with us, we'd love to have you. So,
bylining that, Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, Portnoy, where are you at?
Portnoy, get your fucking ass on Podspur. It is what it is.
You put Matt's face on your website. Now you got to return the favor.
There it is.
So let's actually make this a lightning round and finish this up here. I mentioned Bastoni and Torres. No new info. Nikola Zalewski, we got to see him this Saturday. He was actually taken off. They expect him to be out 6 weeks. There's no new news, especially with the injury. I say we'll probably pass on him, but I will stand by what I said last year. Be ready to see his name in future updates. Harry Winks, Leeds. The interest from Leeds and Everton is cooling down. I expect the saga to be drawn out, and we'll probably be September the 1st, 2nd, whatever day it is. Harvey White is expected to go out on loan. Swansea seems to be the front runner. Tanguy Ndombele, who knows? Galatasaray and his Turkey might be out there. That's according to Mediafoot. Charlie Eccleshare said there's no advanced talks for anybody, but Marseille is really interested, but they're trying to figure out the money thing. The Athletic is reporting AC Milan has decided to pass on him. Tanguy shot himself in the foot. Talked about Lucas Paqueta preferring anybody to Arsenal, which makes him a man after my own heart. James Maddison, it looks like the price tag is going to be around $60 million if we want to go after him. Newcastle is also showing interest in him.
Well, Newcastle made a bid, right?
Yeah.
$40 million.
And it was rejected, yes. And they plan on coming back with a second bid, and that was according to the Daily Mail. As of today, Sky Sports in the $60 million was reported from Sky Sports. Just want to make sure JR knows where I get my sources. So,
well, I also
slide that in there.
I think it was just James Percy from the Telegraph. I think it was somebody who's very good with Newcastle stuff. I can't remember. I saw it another place too. Now, one thing that will play a big role in this Madison thing. I'm sorry, I'm ruining your lightning.
No, round, you're good, man. Keep going. This is a joint effort. This is a joint effort.
My forte is talking too much. So, Chelsea are going in big for Fofana, the defender, and Boley wants another defender, and he's got like fuck you money right now, and they're going for Gvardiol and Fofana, which are both potentially 85 to 95 million pound players, and I don't think Fofana's worth that at all. A friend of mine, Kyle, he's on my other podcast I do, just general Premier League stuff, and he
I take him before I take Soinchu, though. F that guy.
Oh, of course. Well, Fofana's a like top 5 to 7 center back in the league when he's healthy, in my opinion. But he hasn't been. But anyways, so Chelsea are very seriously throwing around just stupid bags of money, and they might pay $85 million for Fofana. And if that happens, Madison, you can kiss that goodbye, because Leicester are not going to sell both of those guys.
Interesting.
Yuri Tielemans is also a name I've seen kind of lurking about, people interested in him, but I don't remember anything specific about that.
I kind of like that more from a perspective of Arsenal probably need him with the Thomas Partey situation, which I don't want to go down.
Yeah,
that
no, that's fine. That's fine.
I kind of like Spurs buying him as just as a fuck you to them.
I think the Tielemans thing's interesting because he's got 1 year left, right. and Leicester are pricing themselves out of selling a player with 1 year left. So teams are like, okay, fine, we'll see you next summer.
We'll wait. Yeah, and you know me and how much I hate the see you next summer, ploy that Tottenham have been, kind of throwing out there, or at least that we've been reading about. And I don't feel like in this market we can wait for a player for a year. But it'll be interesting to see how that whole strategy plays out.
Another name I'll just say we need to probably keep our eye on is Mark Guehi. We talked about him from Crystal Palace, because I've seen, and it was Charlie Eccleshire and Ali Gold have both said that if both Rodon and Tanganga are going, that's a name that they see popping up at Spurs. Now, could that be Christmas? Could that be next summer? I don't know, but I'm also with Matt. If we got the money to go for it now, let's splash it, because
I would love to have.
Yeah, Premier League ready.
Yeah, and he's homegrown.
Homegrown.
Where I think Bastoni could be the rock for years to come, I think Guehi could be a instant, injection into the squad.
Well, and a dependable one at that.
Could be that too.
Yeah,
I mean, he could cover for Dyer and Davies.
The biggest question of it all is, Eric Dyer. He is kind of the logjam that we're looking at as far as center backs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing though is, like I said, Longley gives us some flexibility in who we bring in next, because Longley could cover left or center, and Guehi could actually cover all three, because he's actually right footed, but he's got a very strong left foot. And the thing with the center backs, people are always, they're funny to me about, like, we got to have a left side player here, you can't have two left footed players. That doesn't matter. That what matters for a center back, especially in a system that builds out, is you got to be comfortable receiving the ball on both feet. It doesn't matter which one you pass it with. Like,
well said.
Like, you see, Vertonghen could never play on the right side because his right foot, he couldn't receive on it. He'd always want to receive it on the outside of his left boot. Guehi can do that. So he can actually play all three. And I think he came from Chelsea last summer to Palace for $27 million. So that's what, 23 million pounds. Palace could double that in the summer if they wanted to. I would love that transfer personally.
Yeah, I think it's one that I'm more and more intrigued by as more and more I think about it. So, yeah, that's rumor roundup right there. There's a lot of stuff in there. I think I got everybody in there. Awesome. Oh, I didn't mention Emerson Royale. There's nothing much new about him. He still wants to stay, but there's no real news about him going out. Now we're done. We got it all covered. There you go, Matt.
I think he's starting versus Soton, but that's neither here nor there.
I think that's a definite possibility.
Yeah, so we're actually going to come at you guys midweek. So, again, for context, we're recording this on Sunday, July 31st. So either Wednesday or Thursday, we're going to release our season preview. So if you are jonesing for a Spurs fix, make sure you keep up on your subscriptions and follow us on all of our social media accounts, and we'll hit you with our season preview and predictions as far as what we think Spurs will tackle in this season and this campaign under Antonio Conte. So that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. And just a reminder, you can get quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a rating and review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. So thanks again for tuning in next time. I've been your host, Matt, for Scott and Dustin. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.